Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this October 18th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Ben from the Community Engagement Director with the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Looking forward to talking with him. Right now in studio, we have with us our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good afternoon, Shane.
Good afternoon, James.
We also have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We say hello and good afternoon to them. Be sure to do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube right now. Type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, like and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date with all the great things they are doing over there. Shane, how you been?
I've been good. I've been well. How about you?
Doing all right. Having to pull an audible this morning. I had all my notes. I had like 20 things to talk to you about, and we got to throw it all aside because we got to start off with a press release that you brought to the community today. You mind telling us what's in that?
So it's my announcement that I will not be seeking a third term in April of 2024.
I do not accept.
Sorry. I heard that a few times.
Okay. All right. So we got a petition then going. All right. You cannot take. No. In all seriousness, this is a bit of breaking. This is breaking news. Mm-hmm. But if I'm being honest with you, sir, it's not shocking. I think that most of us that have gotten to know you, and I've been fortunate enough to get to know you a bit over the last couple of years, I've become friends, and I don't look at you as a career politician. I think we even touched on that when you first got into office.
Absolutely.
What made the decision right now good for right now?
You know, I think the big turning point, I was sitting in the last council meeting, and my wife's texting me updates of my son running cross country down in Winneconne, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I hate to be on my phone, but I'm like trying to keep up to date what's going on. And I started thinking, I don't need to be here. My son's 15. I have a daughter that's 20. And I know I've missed a lot of her things. And I kind of went into this not looking for a career, and it wasn't going to be a long-term endeavor. And, you know, I really thought about maybe one more. And ultimately, I decided that this might be a good time. I wish there was a great candidate waiting in the weeds, and so I'm hoping that a couple good candidates would come forward that we can kind of have a choice. When I first ran against the incumbent, we had another candidate there, so we had a primary, and you know, and he and I have turned out to become friends, and he was he's a great guy, and so I hope the community has that opportunity to find a good candidate, and I'm looking for somebody to support, and hopefully somebody will come forward.
The spring election is when we would be, the next mayoral voting would be.
Correct.
Voting for a new mayor.
Yep, and if in February, if there's more than two candidates, they would have a primary.
Okay. So you give people time to find candidates or for candidates to arise. So I could see some of the timing of that fitting. I imagine, too, just knowing you a bit, you probably didn't want to take away from anything else that was going on in town, too. Is that the case?
Yeah, you know, just telling Taylor here is that the last Wednesday was the dog park ribbon cutting, and I kind of knew already then, but I was like, that was a very important event, and I didn't want to, you know, cast a shadow on that event by making an announcement. So it was kind of planned, making the announcement today, and I knew I'd be on the radio show with you, and it'd be a good time to talk about it and, you know, have this conversation.
We appreciate the breaking news. all reality, too, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you've done for our community. You came into this position during a pandemic. You were asked to do this. You didn't decide to do this yourself. You were kind of, I wouldn't say peer pressured, but it was a little close to that. It wasn't something that you were gung-ho about necessarily, but you took the job and you excelled at it. And you've gotten this community in the red. You've gotten this community better off financially and more stable financially, I would say, where our budget is more intact. A lot of the things that I think we needed after the previous regime, that's nothing against the previous regime.
It's different.
I'm not saying anything that isn't known by the community here at large. What I think is interesting is that next stage. For one, what you said there, that we don't have necessarily a prime candidate just sitting there in the wing, that part is interesting to me. But the part that I'm more focused on, if you don't mind, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about candidates and whoever the next mayor is and that.
Yep.
I appreciate you being as honest with us as you've always been, the transparency. And part of that is really key with this subject. The sacrifice that our public officials make, we don't talk about very often. It's usually something that we just take. Well, that's the job. They know the job they sign up for. And I think that there's some adulting that needs to go on when it comes to that. And yes, we all have to put our big boy pants on and know what we're doing. But at the same time, I don't think unless you've done the job, you can really know what that's like. We are hearing a similar story from Craig Counsell right now, that while a lot of people have him going to the Mets or going to this other team or whatever, out of Craig's camp, what we're hearing is he misses seeing his kids.
Right.
He misses seeing his kids in high school and everything. Yeah. So even on a level like that, with all that money at stake and all those other things, that's the biggest thing on his mind right now. I could see where that would be something for you and other public officials.
Yeah, you know, I think about Representative Krug. He's got small children. He's got a range of age. But, yeah, it is – you go into it knowing that there is a time commitment and responsibility there. But then, like I say, probably my downfall or Achilles heel has been not setting boundaries.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think being accessible is very important for, as elected official. And I think I was so highly accessible that it kind of like just drained the tank. And, and I still wouldn't change that because I still think that was my most important role, is being accessible to callers, to the visitors. And that's what I embraced. And that's kind of going into it. I wanted to be accessible. But it is tiring. And I think on our last show, we talked about, you know, that it does get tiring. And then, like I said, evenings and weekends, and you're getting messages, phone calls, and
it's about a 24/7
job. It really is, and you're waking up to it, and you know, you go into it knowing that. But there's only right now, I think there's only three other people in our community that have been that are alive that have sat in that chair and understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, no matter what our politics are, we still connected because of sitting in that chair and kind of understanding. But it's also, each mayor gets to make it their own, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't travel much, and I didn't embrace some of those things that other previous mayors and mayors do, you know, because I wanted to be in the community. I wanted to be accessible. I wanted to be here. I didn't think going to – yeah, I went to Madison to testify on the mill bill before at a hearing, but I still think it's important that I be here and not in – I'm not going to be able to go to Washington, D.C. Yeah, I can go and advocate for Wisconsin Rapids, but as a mayor in Washington, D.C., I'm just a minnow in a big pond with mayors of large cities, and I didn't think that would be – you know, we can solve our own problems here. We got enough smart people in Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
We can solve our problems here. I don't need to go to some big community and say, hey, they're doing this here and it works. Well, we're Wisconsin Rapids, and we need to solve our problems by based on – our Midwest values and how we like to do things around here.
Hmm.
And I just never embraced that. And the next mayor might. I don't know. That's up to them.
When it comes to that next mayor, I think things get really interesting going forward, not just with that next spring election, but elections in general going forward. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and more people pull away from doing public service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting harder and harder to get people to be on boards of communities, you know, organizations, nonprofits. It's tough to get people in positions on into mayoral positions like this. The candidates that we get aren't always the greatest. So having a candidate like yourself in these last two elections and the people you ran against was noteworthy for this area. It hopefully brings out that in others, them seeing you do this and somebody who was not a career politician and not somebody who went into this for fame or to, you know, 15 seconds of notoriety or anything like that. You went into it because you care about this area. You care about this community. I hope we can that's a theme. I hope that's something that continues.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because some of that static noise out there really, you know, I've got thick skin. I've seen and done things, and it's okay, but it's like after a while it starts, you know, you rub yourself with something soft. After a while, it turns raw. And, you know, you start listening to the noise more and more, and that noise is maybe a very minute members of the population, but eventually it just starts like, I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
I don't need to listen to this. And for some reason, they think they have this power, and we've talked about the keyboard haters, and it's like they are doing nothing to make our community better.
Yeah.
They are the problem in our community, like it or not. And you know, if they spent that time trying to be constructive and trying to do good things in our community or join an organization and make that organization better, but sitting behind a keyboard and spewing your spew does nothing.
Any child with a keyboard in front can be a keyboard coward. Yep. Any 7-year-old or 77 in between. Yep. Anybody can be. What takes real strength is actually getting something done. You putting that energy into something that actually can get things done. Anybody can whine. Not everybody can actually get some work done. And that's hopefully what we see with the next election, with the next mayor that we get and everything. It's important, too, going forward, I think, as a society, how we treat politicians. We're never going to be treating politicians with kid gloves, and I don't expect us to. That's not the job. But I do think we have to get better, and this is on all sides of the aisle, Democrat to Democrat, Democrat to Republican, Republican to Republican, Republican to Democrat, independents, all of the above, gray, black, cat, dog, I don't care.
Right.
We have got to get better at the way we treat each other. And most importantly, not just for ourselves, we're all going to get older and move on.
Yep.
We got younger people. We got young kids that are sitting in a living room with their mom and dad, watching their mom and dad scream like babies at a TV and whine and whine. This politician, that politician, and they've seen this their whole lives. All they've ever seen is you talking trash about politicians. What do you think the likelihood of them growing up to want to be a politician and work in public service is?
Exactly.
And we've got tons and tons of families around the whole country doing this on both sides of the aisle. Any type of divisiveness nowadays, I feel like you can have an opinion, you can take your shot without taking shots.
Right.
There's a difference. Yeah. There's a line there. Whether it is local government here or on the national level, we as a society got to stop acting like babies and stop, you know, well, that person did this and whining about the other side. Hopefully, we see some of that here in the next election, because you've got some shoes to fill, sir. I know it was 4 years, and it seemed to fly by in some ways. In other ways, it seemed to last 20. But it's noteworthy. Your legacy's intact in some ways, and we'll talk more about this probably the last show you're on with us. But you were mayor at a key time in this city's history, and we made it through it. And we made it through it in part, big part, because of you and your staff. So I want to make sure to get that out there right away. Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, it's like, do you wait to get beat? Do you? And for me, it was like, it's just the right time. But, you know, I had that proclamation on free speech, and I think it is imperative that we question our leadership and ask and hold them accountable and ask them why. But yeah, there's definitely some.
There's a line. There's a way to treat
people. There's a line. I agree.
There's a class that everybody can have and treat with each other. Being a gentleman isn't something just for men. It's something for men, women, anybody. Anybody can be and should be.
Yeah, I've gotten offensive emails about my family. I've gotten – and it's just like, really? You know, is that really what it's come down to, is sending me offensive emails about my family?
Yeah.
It's just – it's like, really. To me, it's like, fine. You know, I've got a million other things I can go do. But – then that's the least thing in my world right now. You know, it's like you said, we've done a lot of things in this community, and I think we're in a good position. And I think it's time now for somebody with some other creative juices. And I need to refocus and rebalance my life and my health, and kind of let somebody else take over. And you know, the right person get in there, I'm always available to them. You know, and so if any questions, and I've relied on some previous mayors. Two specifically that I've asked questions of, and what have they experienced, or what are their thoughts are. And I feel myself lucky to be in that category of, you know, people that have sat in a chair and kind of understand.
If somebody out there is listening and thinking about running, would you encourage them? Would you be okay with them reaching out to you?
Oh, absolutely. I've had a couple of people already kind of reach out to me to say, hey, the body's not even cold, man.
Come on.
You know, so, you know, there have been people that have reached out. I was like, it's something I've not considered, but maybe, you know, and so we'll see.
Let's talk a little bit about the dog park.
Absolutely.
That's exciting news. We had the opening, the ceremony the other day. How did that go?
I think it went really well. Taylor was there. He was taking a lot of video footage. And, you know, and I haven't seen, but if they've done put it all together yet. But
it's circled on our Facebook right now.
Oh, is it? Okay, because I know from Taylor's done drone footage from when it was just a massive gnarly woods to this completed project. So I'm looking to sit down and see that. But it was very well attended. A lot of dogs. You know, the name was a popular name when they went to vote. And Yeah, it was exciting. It was glad that we finally got to that point. And
Rapids Barks and Rec a Dog Park is the name.
Nope.
No. I'm sorry. Rapids Bark and Park Park and Bark Dog. No. It's
a Rapids Room to Zoom.
Rapids Room to Zoom is where we went. Is where we went with it. I wanted to have some fun getting the last names in. I like those other names.
I was going to say even people there were talking like, oh, that wasn't my favorite. And even people on our Park and Rec Commission. And, you know, they like the Parks and Bark, and you know, I was surprised it got 49% of the vote because I've heard so many about the other ones, and it's like all three good in my opinion.
Yes, and the thing that I've overwhelmingly heard from the community is we have a dog park. Like that's all that's the big thing. That's
like
the name
there,
is the name.
You know?
But
if I'm in here, I'll drive by to see how many cars are there. And I had a training at Midstate yesterday, and I drove by, I was like, oh, look at all the cars. This is perfect. You know, and people were standing around talking and letting their dogs run. And I'm like, this is what a dog park's for. And in the future, it'll be awesome to see what becomes of that dog park. Because right now, it's still kind of raw. You know, there's still wood chips in there from, them, doing the tree work. Mm-hmm. And so once it gets better established and we start getting maybe some dog agility equipment and a pavilion and picnic tables, I just think that there's a lot that park could become.
I cannot wait to see what it'll evolve to and everything. And as we are kind of talking about your career and you wrapping up your mayorship and everything, I got to think that this is one of those legacy things. This is one of those things that you and your staff will be able to look back on and keep your head up on and look good, feel good about. I think the way my dad drives around this town in Nakusa, and he'll go past a building he worked on and still, like it was 20 years ago, and he still looks at it and takes pride in it. You know, I made that roof or what have you.
Yep.
That's something you and your team can drive past that park, have that feeling. Look at the new jail being built, and that's another thing that you guys can. I'm not saying that you are the sole people of it, but you can. Your fingerprints are all over that.
Yeah, I was talking to the sheriff yesterday about that, and we were talking about that very thing. Is our relationship that we've had, and the sheriff and I have known each other since we both started in law enforcement in 1997, and he was at the county, I was with the city, and what's happened since then, but we spoke yesterday about this working relationship that we have that is really good and between the county and the city right now and between the law enforcement agencies and it's particularly on this project. And those things I'm very happy with. And yeah, the dog park was not a big taxpayer expense. And, it wasn't one of the multi-million dollar projects, but I think it's impactful in the community. And I like to always kind of say that, it wasn't tax dollars. There was room tax dollars there that was funded by the people that stayed in our hotel motels and VRBOs and those short-term rentals. And that's what helped pay for our dog park. So the visitors gave us a great amenity in our community, and I'm happy about that.
Make use of that dog park, everybody.
Absolutely.
I'll meet you over there with my fur brother, Sam. I'll see you over there. You proclaimed the other day Free Speech Week. You touched on this a little bit, October 16th to the 22nd. Free Speech Week is an annual nonpartisan celebration of the freedom of speech and the press in the United States. This is an important thing, obviously. You don't have to be more than 5 years old to understand the importance of freedom of speech in the world, let alone in this country. It's one of the things we hold up proudly. It's something that means so much to us. I think that one of the things that gets lost in that, though, is free speech is not free necessarily. Right. It comes with you've got to be careful with what you say, with what your words.
You have to be responsible for what you say. Yeah.
Right. Accountability.
Accountability
and
ownership. Yeah.
And I think that's such a cool part of your proclamation, and then part of this and bringing attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I was talking with somebody this morning. It really should be free speech. Not week, but free speech year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, this week maybe is a reminder of that, but it's all year long, and it's about responsible and being accountable for what you say, but we have the ability to say what we want. And there's many people out and around the world that don't have that opportunity, and I think it's important for our media and for you and for everybody in community media, which the proclamation's coming up for that, too, because that's coming up, and you'll see that. And, I think that's important that they are able to do and you are able to do what you can do and hold people accountable and be able to express your views and thoughts on what's going on in the community and the world. And you have to do that.
It's nice. These proclamations are really good for that. They give us a chance sometimes to appreciate or think about something that is kind of in our everyday lives, but we don't always have a chance to think about or take the time to really focus on, oh, that is important. Oh, that's something that means something to me. I'm glad we have this. In a similar way, you also had a White Cane Awareness Day the other day as well that was announced. And this is an important one, that, not just in our community, but in the world in general.
Yeah, I really honestly didn't know a lot about it until I think it was last year. A young lady came in who is visually impaired and asked me about this and asked me to support it because she walks in our community and she knows others that walk in our community, and all of them have had close calls by cars. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very important that we realize that there are people out walking and using our community and our sidewalks and our public ways that are visually impaired. And just take that extra second. If you see somebody with a cane, and any guy, to me it's any cane, but the law is very specific that you need to take notice, you know. And I know she was excited because she was hoping to get a dog, and which would make things different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and so I think it's important that at least we have this awareness that it is in our community, and there are people that are using our right-of-ways and are scared. They're scared of getting hit, and because they've had close calls, and I couldn't imagine not being able to see a car coming at me, and all you do is just feel it, you know?
It's tough enough when you can see. Right, it's tough enough. I mean, you almost get hit, whether you're in a car, out of a car. I mean, it's tough enough being out there on the roads or on the sidewalks alone, let alone if you cannot see. And you don't have the ability to. So many of the things that we do take for granted with sight.
Yep.
It's a great opportunity for us to have some empathy, for us to understand that this is part of our community and bring some attention to it.
Yeah, a little reminder.
The community is being invited to the Downtown District Workshop coming up a little bit later today. That is going to be going on, I believe.
Correct.
I wanted to tell people about that. What is this involved? What is this about, Shane?
So it's really because our Community Development Department is taking on kind of wanting to do a downtown plan. Because there's been so much happening downtown, and they want to update a plan. And I'm not a big plan guy because we can spend a lot of money, thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on plans. But we brought a slew of developers here, and we did a developers tour. And over, I heard every one of these developers from around the state, so what's your most recent downtown plan? And I'm like, maybe there's value in a downtown plan. Because if we want somebody coming to our community and doing development, and if they're looking for something, then maybe we should have it. But so this is starting to build on that. So they're going to have a meeting, they're going to do a walking tour, and kind of take a look at things downtown, and then have some activities trying to maybe come up with some ideas that can all be put into this plan.
I got it. We just have a big ball pit. Just a big, big ball pit right in the middle of downtown. A couple $100 bucks, maybe, and we're covered. We're good. Who's got that? It's going to be, a lot of people are going to come to check that out.
It's a lifetime thing. Yep.
I don't want to have to clean that, though. I don't want to have to, no. This workshop is going on today. Encourage the community to show up to the Downtown District Workshop taking place at McMillan Memorial Library today from 5 to 6:30. Bring those creative minds of yours, and let's plan out this downtown. You can't leave when we're planning the downtown, sir. Not
exactly. There's always that project. Like, there's another project that I'm gonna fight to hopefully see before I leave, but hopefully it'll happen next year. And if you watch that the budget meeting the other night, it was brought up, and in that budget, I just think, I know community leadership projects have been trying to get it done, and I finally like, okay, we need to do this.
Is this a project? What project is it specifically?
It's going to be a bridge lighting.
That's
project.
What I thought. Okay.
And so, it's to light both of our downtown bridges, and it's expensive though. But it's $250,000 to do both bridges. But we have a downtown TIF district, which is part of that plan, and there's money in there to do this. And that's what a TIF district is for, to be able to do these type of projects. And it'd be great to see it. And, if it's my final project or if my predecessor gets to cut the ribbon on that, so be it. But I'm at least going to start it. That I think it'd be phenomenal to be able to go downtown on 4th of July and see red, white, and blue lights going on our bridges, or
pretty cool.
Christmas time or Valentine's or St. Patrick's Day, you go through the whole list.
Safety-wise, it seems like a smart idea, too.
It looked really neat in our downtown because we have two bridges so close together. And groups have been trying to get it done, and it's just time that we get it done because I think it'll be phenomenal for our community.
Yeah.
And it'll look neat during all the different events and holiday things downtown. And
well, and as every community will tell you, you're trying to bring people to that community. Things like this are what bring people in, is having stuff like that. So you get a return on that investment through your population.
Yep.
Shane, I almost don't want to let this end. I know we're going to talk again.
Yeah, we got at least six more.
At least. And we will talk more. But I do appreciate, again, everything you've put into our community. Thank you so much for that. And looking forward to hanging out again real soon.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks, James.
Thank you. And if people have follow-up questions, they want to reach you, we'll send them to wirapids.org, wirapids.org, and go to the website and check out and reach you that way.
Absolutely.
And I encourage you, everybody, to get over to YouTube, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to that page. Big thank you to you, Tyler, and all of your friends over there. Appreciate you. We'll take a break and we'll come back with some more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.